Then I will purify the lips of the peoples, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord and serve him shoulder to shoulder.
It's Fall Share-a-thon on American Family Radio. We're pushing back against the evil of this age. Call and make your pledge at 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or visit AFR.net. It's Share-a-thon, standing shoulder to shoulder on American Family Radio.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to Share-a-thon here on American Family Radio, day two of 3 days of our fall Share-a-thon here on American Family Radio. What is a Share-a-thon, you might ask? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's I'm not going to beat around the bush, folks. It's a fundraiser. How you like that?
Passing the hat.
Honest.
Ed Vitagliano. Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ed.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Great to be here again.
But we renamed it. You can't name it Welcome to Our AFR Fall Fundraiser, huh? You got to give it a more spiritual touch. You know what I'm saying? It's a share-a-thon. Because that's what Christians do. We share.
Share.
We share.
That's brilliant.
We share our hearts, and we share.
Brilliant.
We're just asking you to share your money. That's what we're asking you to do.
Right.
With us here on American Family Radio. Why? Because it costs a lot to keep 181 radio stations on the air. You know this already if you've been listening to American Family Radio. So we want to say to everybody who gave this morning or gave yesterday or you sent your pledge in the mail, we say thank you for your pledges. Or coming from Tupelo, Mississippi, I would just say thank you. Thank you very much. All right? How about that? All right. Share-a-thon rolls along. Walker, tell folks if they want to take advantage of the cameras we have installed in here.
Yeah.
The Big Brother's watching you cameras we put in here so that none of us can.
Salute.
Yeah. How can folks watch the show and engage with Share-a-thon?
Yes, a couple different ways to do so. First is on Facebook and YouTube, on social media there, Facebook and YouTube. Just type in the name of the show, Today's Issues, and you can watch the show there. Also, we're on the World Wide Web, AFR.net, AFR.net. Lastly, we have an app, which many people take advantage of. We have an app on your smartphone. Just download the AFR app. Catch Share-a-thon and all the other shows here on American Family Radio.
All right, set everything up for us this hour, Ed. Share-a-thon, what's available?
Yes, first of all, we want to give the number out, and then I'll explain what the theme of it is and the scripture
it's
based on. The number to call if you would like to give here during our fall Share-a-thon is 877-616-2396. That number again, 877-616-2396. Or you can go online at AFR.net. Now, the theme we always pray about and ask the Lord to give us a theme for every Share-a-thon. For the fall Share-a-thon, the theme is standing shoulder to shoulder. It's from Zephaniah 3:9, and it says, this is from the Amplified Bible, "Then I will give to the peoples clear and pure speech from purified lips, which reflect their purified hearts, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord to serve him shoulder to shoulder." That is the theme of Share-a-thon. The number to call is 877-616-2396. Now, gentlemen, I do want to let our listeners know that with a one-time donation of $150 or more, you will receive an 8-ounce bag of our American Family coffee. It's very popular. It is French vanilla. It's called Honor. We have these cool names for all the different coffees. If you decide to be a monthly giver of $30 or more, you'll receive the coffee and the DVD of The Pilgrim's Progress. It is an excellent animated version of John Bunyan's classic Christian allegory, The Pilgrim's Progress. That's if you decide to be a monthly giver of $30 or more. As we try to encourage people, if you will donate $30 or more, in other words, commit through a bank draft or credit card, $30 a month, it helps us more accurately plan out our budget. As anybody would know if you have a regular amount coming in that you know is coming in, you can more efficiently budget. So 877-616-2396 is the number to call.
All right, Fred, good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you. You know, when Share-a-thon wrapped up at 7 o'clock Central Time last night, millions of Americans rushed to their television set because they wanted to hear what all these Democrat presidential candidates had to say about how they're going to take more money from your wallet. Because a lot of Americans want to know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they wanted to hear what Bernie was going to say, how much more today than yesterday they're going to take from your wallet. And Joe Biden, I wanted to see if Joe Biden made it through the debate. And then there was Elizabeth Warren, who has a way of, I want to take your money, but I don't want to tell you that I'm going to do that.
Right.
So that's the assessment from the debate.
That's
last
what
night.
Happened. Well, I'm sorry I missed that. Wow.
I would have, but you know what? I was watching Andy Griffith reruns. So,
well, that's similar to the debate, especially the Barney part of the show. But no, Allison didn't tape it. I told her.
I have to admit, I watched some of it.
You did?
Did you?
Yeah. Well, doing what we do here, you have to be knowledgeable of what they're saying. So, Walker, what were your impressions last night?
Well, a few times, you know, you watch those debates and you really want two to kind of go after each other and kind of spar it out like Trump would do with the other Republican candidates a couple of years ago. But as they started to kind of go after each other and debate and kind of differentiate each other, Cory Booker, the senator from New Jersey, steps in and says, we don't need to be attacking each other. And I'm thinking to myself, what are you here for? It's a debate.
Right. You're trying to separate yourself so you can be the candidate.
Yeah, and
right?
So
right.
That's when I decided he's definitely not going to make it.
Right.
Because which Democrat voter wants them to all sit up there and pat each other on the back? No, it's a battle for who has the best ideas.
Right. Did they hold hands and sing Kumbaya?
if Cory Booker was in charge, they would have.
No, apparently, on a more serious vein, it appears now Elizabeth Warren is regarded as the front runner.
Yeah.
I mean, the polls are showing this. However, over and over again last night, she didn't want to talk about what's been out there, and that is all she's promising the world, and she's promising the American voter, is going to mean the taxes for the middle class are going to go up. So cut number four, Brent, a little bit of Elizabeth Warren last night being challenged by moderator Maurice Lacy.
Will you raise taxes on the middle class to pay for it, yes or no?
So I have made clear what my principles are here. And for hardworking middle class families, costs will go down.
A yes or no question that didn't get a yes or no answer. Your signature, Senator, is to have a plan for everything except this.
We can do that without Medicare for all. We can do that by adding a public option. We can.
At least Bernie's being honest here and saying how he's going to pay for this and that taxes are going to go up. And I'm sorry, Elizabeth, but you have not said that.
Yeah.
So who was that talking to her?
That was Amy Klobuchar?
Klobuchar, I believe it was. Yeah, she's not. What she does want to tell you, she wants to tell you what she's going to give you. Mm-hmm. In other words, Medicare for all. But I'm not going to tell you how much I'm going to charge you for that.
Well, that's a Democrat staple. Right there, huh? Yeah. That's what they do, right?
That's like going into a restaurant and getting a menu. Now, my understanding is rich people do this, but I don't. You get a menu. I want to look and see what the restaurant's going to give me, what kind of food they have. But I also want to see how much it costs.
Yes.
Because I want to know if I get this for that much, and you want to compare, and you're saying that what Elizabeth Warren is doing is just telling you what you're going to have for dinner. Yeah. But not what's coming out of your wallet when
now,
you're done.
Also on her menu is something called a wealth tax. Now, folks, we need to talk about this because you may be just thinking, okay, I'm a little bit more percentage on those really rich people out there.
Right.
That's not what it is. So here's what she said to say about a wealth tax last night. Cut number one.
Taxing income is not going to get you where you need to be the way taxing wealth does. The really, really billionaires are making their money off their accumulated wealth. We need a wealth tax in order to make investments in the next generation. I think as Democrats, we are going to succeed when we dream big and fight hard.
Now, dreaming big and fighting hard under the dictionary of Elizabeth Warren, you heard her say, we need more than income tax.
Yes.
So basically, folks, and Charles Payne, who's with Fox Business, is going to explain this a little bit more. But basically, Elizabeth Warren is going to send the government into your house, and they're going to look around. And if you have a nice painting, oh, that's part of your wealth. We're going to tax that. If you have a boat that you fish off of, all those sorts of things. Here's what Charles Payne had to say. Cut five.
What she wants to do is to go after that honeypot of money, that painting on the wall that's worth $50 million. Let us just snip a little bit of that off. You know, maybe $5 million here.
My Babe Ruth autographed jersey.
Oh, forget about it.
That's gone.
That's gone. At least the sleeve, okay? So, you know, and that's where she differs from her opponents, you know. And really, the only way you can get there, the only way you can start saying, hey, we want to actually go into people's homes and see how much the vase is worth, is to vilify these the billionaires. And so you first vilify them, and then you open the door to justification to going after all of their money.
Yeah, that'll work.
This is the first I've heard of this. Yeah. You know, when you talk about a wealth tax, you assume it's just an income tax. You're just going to get a higher rate or on investments or capital gains or something like that. But this is intrusive. This is going into their house and saying, okay, no, you got a swimming pool that's worth this, and we're going to tax that.
I can see this on Property Brothers, honestly. You know what I'm saying?
Where they say,
have the two brothers do this, and they come in and they evaluate your home and give you a price tag at the end for your wealth tax, Walker?
Yeah, this is a repetitive tax. You know, traditionally you get taxed if you purchase a pool or a car, you pay the tax, the sales tax on the purchase. But this is a annual repetitive tax. So if you have the nice car outside, every April when you go to file your taxes, you have to pay taxes every year.
First of all, it's un-American. But secondly, I wonder who she considers wealthy, because she mentioned billionaires there. Now, billionaires wouldn't feel that, okay, what she's talking about. And that's one of the – whether it's fair or not, they wouldn't feel it. But I don't – I doubt very seriously if she's talking about just billionaires. I bet her number would come way on down. And what's she – so she's suggesting – that she's going to pay for all these programs by taxing the super wealthy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like Warren Buffett or Bill Gates or...
Yeah, there's not enough of those people around to get the money that she needs, which is why she's expanded it, and probably why she won't answer the question about taxing the middle class.
Yes.
Now, they might not get stuck with a wealth tax, but they are going to have their taxes go up, which is why she won't answer.
Well, hopefully she'll never be elected. We won't have to talk about this. But anyway, what's the next, what else you got on the agenda there?
Well, I'll tell you what, Nancy Pelosi just doubling down yesterday on her commitment that she is not going to allow a vote in the House on the impeachment inquiry. She's not going to do it. So more and more, the description of what the Democrats are up to with regards to impeachment is a kangaroo court. Because unlike the impeachment involving Nixon and Clinton, where there was a House vote, everybody voted on whether to proceed with an impeachment, happened right away. But Nancy Pelosi said, we're not going to allow it. And I'm sorry, you have to be very naive. She says she wants to move forward in an expeditious fashion. But I'm sorry, what she doesn't want to do is give Republicans the opportunity to call witnesses, because that can't be done until there's a full House vote.
Right.
I think this is slowly going to hurt the Democrats if they don't, because what Nancy Pelosi did a few weeks ago when she announced impeachment, right? That's all people hear.
Right.
It's like she's out front going, with her sword and her troops are behind her, she's going, charge! Huh? And nobody moves.
Right.
She goes, charge! And nobody moves. Because, and then maybe she turns around, she goes, okay, we don't have to charge now. We can talk about this.
Yeah.
Okay, as
behind closed doors.
Behind closed doors. Because what you got now is the momentum, if it did exist, was with her. And now... she's got a flat tire, okay. And I got all kind of metaphors. I got charging up hills. I got flat tires. I got some more coming, okay.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, really, it's is kind of a, she's kind of a halfway committed here, Ed. It seems to me if you're going to impeach the president, right, let's take a vote in the House like they always have, that the majority of, no, you don't, a majority of your colleagues in the House of Representatives agree with you that the president needs to be impeached. She doesn't even want to take that vote, which makes me wonder, as Walker has pointed out here, she may not have the vote. Mm-hmm. Well, she probably doesn't, does she, Walker?
No, according to reports, she doesn't have the vote. Now, she's close. The right. vast majority of Democrats are okay with impeachment. But there's a few, like 8 or 10, they're congressmen from districts that President Trump won in 2016
right.
in Pennsylvania and Minnesota. Yes, and they're up for re-election too, so they don't want to lose.
Yeah, and I think that that's part of it, but I think that those who are hesitant to vote right now are waiting to see the evidence, and who knows what kind of evidence she has. I don't think she's got much, so maybe she's trying to, behind the scenes, gather something that would be, make it palatable to vote for impeachment.
As I've said many times, let's just cut through all this, save everybody the trouble. Just say, who hates Trump? Raise your hand.
Mm-hmm. Who wants him out of office?
Who wants him out of office, no matter what we find out?
Right. Because it's not going to matter.
Because it doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter. They've all committed.
Right.
To basically, they're not. There's no Democrats going, let me wait and see what the evidence
yeah,
is here
exactly.
Before I make up my mind. Maybe the 8 or so that Walker mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's hear a listener testimony from an AFR listener. Let's do that now.
2012, a team of physicians started testing me because of a memory loss. My daughter noticed severe memory loss. January of 2013, the team of physicians confirmed that I had Alzheimer's. I have been living with Alzheimer's since then. Quite a challenge, to say the least. Because of the music, the programming, the discussions, the news, the personalities of American Family Radio and American Family Magazine that we receive, my heart and soul has been strengthened to handle the challenge of Alzheimer's. I've been strengthened in my commitment to Christ. And all of you folks at AFR, J.J. Jasper, all of them, thank you and may God bless you and your ministry.
Wow.
Wow.
That's, man.
That's 6 years. He didn't he say 2013?
Yeah.
What was his first name? That we don't always have the...
Yeah. God bless him. Thank you. And thank you for encouraging us here at AFR. You're listening to Share-a-thon on American...
That's all right.
American Family Radio. We are here for 3 days during our share-a-thon where we let you know what our financial needs are. We pass the virtual offering plate and ask you to please help us if you possibly can and be as generous as you can in your gift to AFR, because it takes a lot of money to operate 181 radio stations across America. And it's just... You can imagine how much that cost, and so we need to raise our finances. And we only do this, again, we only appeal to you in the spring and in the fall. Now, so if you want to make a gift to AFR, you believe in what we're doing, as our brother there just shared that he does, then here's the phone number to call and make a donation. And when you're calling this number, you're calling our studios, our home offices here in Tupelo, Mississippi. We are a national ministry, but this is where our headquarters are located. Here's the phone number to call us. This is not my Social Security number. Okay? 877-616-2396. You can call us now. We have many folks standing by. Actually, they're sitting down to answer the phone, and they're ready to take your call. And here's the phone number again, 877-616-2396. It's the Standing Shoulder to Shoulder Share-a-thon here on American Family Radio. Fred, next story.
Yeah, kind of interesting. I think most people have heard of the Moody Investment people. They've been around for years and years and years. And each election cycle, they do various tests, economic tests on candidates, what they call pocketbook tests, that kind of thing. The Moody's models have been back-tested to 1980 and were correct each time in predicting who would win. The one exception is actually 2016, where they predicted Hillary Clinton would win by a very narrow margin. They were wrong on that point. But every other election, they've been exactly right. Here's the headline this morning. Trump is on his way to an easy win in 2020, according to Moody's accurate election model. And basically, they put it this way. And here's a quote. If the economy a year from now is the same as it is today, or roughly so, then the power incumbency is strong and Trump's election odds are very good, particularly if Democrats aren't enthusiastic and don't get out the vote. So that's what they're saying and putting in their model. And they actually say they're so optimistic about Mr. Trump at this point, President Trump, that he could win up to 351 electoral votes. Now, that's what their models are saying. Well, like I say, they've been tested back to 1980.
You're saying if the election was today, they would favor him. If all things stay the same.
If all things
and the Democrats don't have a stronger candidate than what they're putting out there now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the economy is roughly the same as it is today.
That will be, I don't know, these secular, progressive, liberal folks. They're, we will see videotape from all across America where heads spin off bodies.
If he's reelected?
Yeah, they'll be like, we've got another exorcist reported in Phoenix today. Watch this. Local Democrat leader.
Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi, her head just spun off. Now it's, I mean, really, they'll lose their minds. They're already unhinged, right, yeah, against him.
And they starting election night 2016. Remember the montage? We would watch the various montages of media people and prognosticators, and
no,
Trump will never win. And they were
most people didn't give him much of a chance that day. He had to pull off the royal flush, and he did.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's interesting, though. But this is who now? Did we post that on our Facebook page?
Yes.
Okay, so if you want what Fred just talked about, we posted it on our Today's Issues Facebook page. You can go and get that for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been right in every presidential election except one.
Except one since 1980.
Yeah, and that was 2016.
351 electoral votes. You only need 270 to win.
Yes.
That's a beatdown if he gets that many.
That doesn't jive. If I can go back to the 70s here for a word, that doesn't jive with what you're reading in polls.
That's right.
Polls are saying that
all the Democratic candidates.
That President Trump loses to Joe Biden, right?
Right.
That's basically the matchup that they've been putting forward here. I don't think Joe Biden's going to be the candidate on the Democrat side, but
But poll numbers were wrong in 2016 too.
Yeah, good point. Were off.
And isn't it, Walker, harder to survey people now accurately than it once was?
Because
you don't have landlines anymore.
Yeah,
on phones,
it's a little tougher to be a pollster nowadays. And also, the modeling is very hard to accurately predict. Because the problem with 2016 is everyone was assuming that the turnout would be the same as 12, but it was not at all.
Right.
More people turned out for President Trump than expected.
More people on the Democrat side were excited about Barack Obama than they were about Hillary Clinton.
Correct. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that worked to Donald Trump's advantage.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Abraham Hamilton III. Will be with us momentarily. We got some very interesting things to throw at Abe and see if he can answer them. Stay with us.
On behalf of our broadcast team at Family Talk, this is James Dobson. You know, we couldn't be more pleased to be part of American Family Radio's ministry. As you know, American Family Radio is in the midst of a share-a-thon to raise financial support. And it's that support from you and from so many others that will allow this station to continue offering ministry that's impacting not only you and your family, but this entire community. So give them a call today and let them know how much you appreciate what they're doing for the kingdom. And give as the Lord lays it on your heart. It will also be appreciated by all of us here at Family Talk. The Lord bless you and your family. And along with you, we anticipate wonderful days of blessing ahead.
Casey from Louisiana. I enjoy listening to the Hamilton Corner every day on the way home from work. I'm usually pretty exhausted. And he starts every day with encouraging us to give our best to our family. And some days I am just tempted to give them just what's left of me, which is not a lot. So each day on the way home, I really look forward to that encouragement and need it. And although he does it every day and some people would think it is repetitive, I turn it on because of that.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
What do you see for the next generation? Do you see a prospering nation? Do you see hope? The future is ours to create, and Liberty University is driven to train positive influencers for our country and our culture. Our mission is to guide students toward leadership as servants of the people, defenders of freedom, and champions of truth. Discover how you can impact the next generation of champions for Christ at liberty.edu/starnes.
I've been honored to be a part of the AFR family for more than a decade now, broadcasting Todd Starnes news and commentary. I network with lots of broadcasters around the nation, but there's something special about AFR. I respect their rock-solid stand on the issues of the day. They defend religious liberty in a winsome way without bowing to the cultural winds of the day. And nowadays, those winds are blowing at hurricane force. That's why we need to support American Family Radio. They're broadcasting from the front lines of the culture war, covering stories that impact our churches, our communities, and our families. They report the news the mainstream media ignores. They report news that matters. The Starnes family stands shoulder to shoulder with American Family Radio, and I hope you and your family will do the same. To be a part of Share-a-thon, visit AFR.net.
Standing shoulder to shoulder against the erosion of biblical values. Call 877-616-2396 or visit AFR.net. It's Share-a-thon on American Family Radio.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Share-a-thon here on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman, and I have with me Abraham Hamilton III. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning, Tim, guys.
Fred Jackson.
Good to be here.
Ed Battagliano.
Always good for you guys to see me.
And Walker Wildman. Good morning, one and all. Thank you for listening to AFR. It's our shoulder-to-shoulder Share-a-thon. Hey, I was just reminded by our general manager, Jim Stanley, that we have going on right now a $100 per gift add-on. Did you hear? You heard me right.
Oh, yeah.
That is correct.
So you give a donation to American Family Radio, according to General Manager Jim Stanley, somebody, another listener, has agreed to give, $100.
Whatever a person donates, another $100 is thrown on.
Wow. So there you go. I mean, you can hardly beat that.
No.
Right? You can hardly beat that. Here's the phone number if you want to take advantage of that and be a part of the $100 add-on here on American Family Radio. You want to call in and make your donation. And again, whatever you pledge, then it's $100 more.
Right.
Here's the phone number, 877. This is to call us here in our studios and make a pledge on AFR, 877-616-2396. 877-616-2396 is our phone number. If you want to make a pledge online, simply go to AFR.net. AFR.net.
Now, there is a catch to that.
Really?
The catch is this is only going to go on for another hour and a half to noon Central Time. So for people saying, well, do I want to give now? If you want that $100 added on, now is the time to give.
That's right.
Because that will end that kind of a match or challenge that's issued by, I don't know whether it was one person or a group of people that have said, hey, listen, until noon Central, everything that's given, we'll throw $100 on it.
Yeah.
So now's the time
and
to call.
And we're all about, everyone's about maximizing your gift. So if you can do that, that's why everybody likes coupons, et cetera, for purchases. But if you want to maximize your gift, now's the time to do it. $100 add-on.
877-616-2396 is the number to call. Folks, do want to let you know that with a one-time donation of $150 or more, you will receive our American Family French Vanilla Honor Coffee, 8-ounce bag. Or if you are become a monthly giver of $30 or more, you receive the coffee, plus the Pilgrim's Progress DVD. This is a wonderful, beautifully rendered, animated version of the classic Christian allegory, The Pilgrim's Progress. That is if you become a monthly giver of $30 or more, you get the coffee and the Pilgrim's Progress DVD. The number to call is 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or you can call, or you can go to AFR.net.
Okay, so the Pilgrim's Progress DVD?
Yes. With the coffee, if you are become a monthly giver
of $30 or more. Did you know that one of Abraham Lincoln's four books he had at his home when he was growing up as a child was Pilgrim's Progress?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Aesop's Fables, Pilgrim's Progress, the Bible, and something on the life of George Washington.
It was a Tom Clancy book or something, wasn't it?
Life of George Washington. I think you got your centuries mixed up. Ed, you might want to check that.
Okay.
Okay. But, yeah.
A book about George Washington?
A book about George Washington. George Washington was Abraham Lincoln's hero.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And, he's not alone.
So, anyway, but Pilgrim's Progress, which dates back to...
the 1600s, I think. John Bunyan wrote it while he was in prison.
All right. What is an allegory, by the way?
An allegory is where the individual characters actually represent something in real life. So you have like the Slough of Despair in the Pilgrim's Progress that stands for this in...
Was the J.R.R. Tolkien series, was that allegorical?
No, it was not. Tolkien did not like allegories. But Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe was allegorical. So Aslan the Lion...
The Hobbits and all of
them. Oh, he just invented a world.
There was no allegory there?
No.
He just invented a world?
Yeah, Tolkien did not like allegories. C.S. Lewis, who wrote The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and as well as the entire seven-book series.
They were contemporaries, weren't they?
They were, and he liked allegories, and he made his books more allegorical.
Did that cause any strife or division in their friendship?
I think they argued about it, came to blows one time.
Did they just once?
Just once. Wrestled around on the floor of a tavern.
Okay.
You know.
All right. Who won?
I don't
know. Martin Luther won.
Abraham Martin Hamilton. He knows who won that one. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning, guys.
Abe was pulling us back from the brink.
Yeah. Hey, the Values Voters Summit.
Yes.
The Values Voters Summit was last weekend. Wesley Wildman and you went.
Rob
Chambers representing us there in Washington, D.C. Tell us your impressions of the event. I know you were a speaker, but
yes,
what happened?
The event was phenomenal. It's always amazing to see such a large group of not just people who are motivated politically, not just people who would call themselves conservatives, but people who are motivated by the word of God primarily. It's amazing to see that because contemporary majority opinion would say, oh, these people don't exist, you know, but you have a large gathering of them there. And it's also amazing to see, as you know, President Trump was there and he addressed the whole bunch on Saturday night at the gala.
When did you guys learn that the president was coming over to speak?
I learned that the president was coming several weeks before the event.
Okay.
But I don't know when everybody else learned that. I got an email saying that, hey, by the way, the president will be here.
Did that mean you had to, it was Secret Service special, anything?
Yes. So I was emailed within the context of rearranging the scheduled time for speaking because the president was coming in. The Values Order Summit wanted to accommodate the president. But it was, I mean, from President Trump to Sebastian Gorka to Brigitte Gabriel. I mean,
it's one after another. Yeah. Let me ask you this. When the president goes out and speaks in public like that, that was at a hotel. It was at the Omni Shoreham Hotel there in Washington, D.C. Was there a lot of Secret Service presence around?
Yes.
I mean, that's a obvious answer to the question. But what I mean is, were they obvious, or could you?
You had some who were intentionally made obvious. Then you had others who were not obvious.
Gotcha.
And the only reason I knew who they were is because I'd seen them in the back, in the green room, and other areas. And just to give you an idea, the gala where the president was scheduled to speak started at 7 o'clock. In order to get into the gala, you had to be in line by 4:30. The doors to the ballroom were shut, locked down at 6:15 p.m. Mm-hmm. So, and it didn't start until 7. And all of that was primarily for security purposes. And you had, I mean, you've been at the Omni Shoreham, you had lines from where the actual ballroom was leading all the way back around a huge restaurant at the base there, all the way to the lobby.
Wow.
I mean, it was.
Yeah.
A lot of people wanted to see the president.
Yeah, your average person doesn't understand the type of security that goes into the president or the vice president, because they even have to lock down the HVAC system, the air conditioning system. That all has to be secure.
Well, the average person doesn't think about
I know.
That.
Yeah, because you could put poisons or toxins in the air conditioner system. So all that has to be secure. You're talking about hundreds of agents in a hotel or around a hotel.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was going to say I was a speaker on behalf of AFA when it was candidate Donald Trump,
mm-hmm.
and I was as close as you are to me to Donald Trump. I was going to reach over and shake his hand and ask for a selfie, but I thought, I don't want to be that guy. You know, that guy. Hey,
yeah.
Mr. Trump.
He would have done it, though.
He's very, very friendly, very friendly guy. He was shaking everyone's hand.
Give us a couple points on what he said during his talk.
He called Robert Francis O'Rourke a wacko. he did. He primarily discussed how insane the Democrat Party has become with their rhetoric. He talked about how his contrast with being a defender and protector of life with the pro-abortion Democrats who not only want to fight for the unfettered right to kill children, but even kill children in the womb, but even outside of the womb. And he emphasized that as being a glaring example of not only the contrast between himself and those candidates, but also the contrast between moral sanity and those people. He also talked about his desire to end endless wars around the world. He gave an in-depth rationale behind his decision concerning Syria, which was extremely interesting.
That's divisive in our Christian community, right?
It is. Yeah, it is. And it was divisive among the crowd. I mean, prior to that point, it was round applause. At that point, it was like, some people weren't going along with it.
Yeah.
Then he also discussed the necessity, his eagerness to get it on with the election. He first started talking about who he preferred to run against, and he said, it doesn't matter. Let's just get it on. Let's go, let's go, let's go.
That sounds like him. You know, I think 83% of evangelical Christians voted for then-candidate Trump. So he knows that he needs that kind of turnout again next year if he's going to win. So it was wise for him, politically speaking, to come to the Values Voters event, which the tentacles of that event reaches far and wide across America, where we're talking about it right here, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So into the Christian community. And so I think it was wise for him to come there. And then I will say the second thing is, I don't think it was pandering. I've seen many politicians pander, and maybe, you know, and sometimes they pander shamelessly. But I do think that the president, although he may not have talked about all his accomplishments, that is, has fulfilled a lot of the promises that he made during his campaign, right, to the Christian community, judges, the Supreme Court, pro-life issues, namely those things, religious freedom issues. He's stumbled every once in a while on these things, but not very often. On the big things, he's been very, very good. And it's good to come. If I were him, I would come and, remind this constituency.
He mentioned that, especially about the judges. He actually talked about
He's right about that.
If you compare the amount of vacancies that were left by his predecessor, former President Obama, and prior presidents, usually presidents don't leave many vacancies. And if they do, it's always single digits. But he said, here I am, and Obama left me 142 vacancies. And he said, you want to know why, folks? And this was a good point that he made. He said, you want to know why? They did not believe that Hillary Clinton would lose.
Yes.
Right. There's no way with their commitment to the judiciary that they would have allowed that amount of vacancies to remain empty. And he said, if you have a president who won't protect their primary means of getting their agenda accomplished, which is through the courts, he said, let's be honest. They lose at the ballot box. They lose in Congress. The only way they win is through the court system. And for them to leave that glaring vacancy, it's because that they thought little of you. He talked about the people in the audience and didn't think that you would respond. And he said, listen, if we want to keep this going, we need to keep it going in 2020. And I thought that was a very salient point.
I can tell you've been working on your Donald Trump impersonation because you want to use it, but you're not quite sure of yourself yet. So I would say now I know why your door's been closed in your office, because you've been practicing your Trump impersonation. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, listen, I've heard him. He
can do it pretty good.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I'll see him at the coffee saying, this is huge. This is huge. He's working on
okay.
it. Hey, let me just say one quick thing. The president had the best speech. Second best was Abe's speech.
Our own Abe Hamilton.
Yeah, yeah. It was outstanding. Someone texted me, reminded me when you were speaking, so I pulled it up and got you spoke for 20 minutes on behalf of AFA before the whole crowd, and it was outstanding. Just wanted to give kudos
to
Abe
for representing us. Hey, can we put Abe's speech up on our Facebook page? Abe may have it. It's at FRC or Values Voters Summit.
Yeah, and if you go to the Hamilton Corners Facebook page, it's there too. So you can, you can get it from there.
But we want to put it on ours. That way,
we want to draw more people
to
ours.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Before we get back to Fred, Fred's got a couple of topics he wants to throw at Ed. Walker, why don't you reset Share-a-thon for us?
Yes, we are on our fall Share-a-thon. The theme is standing shoulder to shoulder. And here's a couple things you can do. Number one, we're having a $100 add-on between now and 12 o'clock Central.
What?
That means if you give $50, it becomes $150. If you give $100, it becomes $200. $100 is added on to your gift of any amount to our fall Share-a-thon. Here's the number to call and where to donate.
We're going to do a trio here, Walker. When you're ready to give the number, Ed and I are going to help you out.
Yeah, and then
you really like this, don't you?
After we give the number, I'm going to pitch it over to Ed to tell us our premiums. Then we'll jump over to Fred and Abe here. Here's the number to call.
877-616-2396.
877-616-2396. 2396. Or you can visit afr.net.
Are we making that easier for people to understand or harder?
Probably harder, but it sounds good. So.
All right. To Walker's point, with a one-time donation of $150 or more, you will receive our American Family Coffee, an 8-ounce bag of Honor Coffee. That's French vanilla. Or if you become a monthly giver of $30 or more, you will receive our donation premium of the coffee, plus the Pilgrim's Progress DVD. It is a superbly done animated version of that Christian classic. So that's for being a monthly giver of $30 or more. You know how a bank draft or from a credit card, you will receive the 8-ounce bag of coffee and the Pilgrim's Progress DVD.
Yeah, if you can do a bank draft or a credit card draft, that really helps us. Some people don't want to do that or can't. Certainly we understand that. But that really helps us budget if we know how much we can count on each month from our listeners. That's been a very good program, if you will, for us. And we thank you if you've decided to help us out and do it that way. Okay, let's hear a listener testimony, and then we'll come back with Abe and Fred.
My name is Barbara. I call from the state of Alabama. And I appreciate how well-fed I am spiritually by AFR. But I really thank you most of all for when upcoming elections are coming around the bend, I can feel confident in walking into a polling place being a well-informed voter. And I thank you all so much for that. Have a blessed day.
Where's she calling from? Well, wonderful comment there from a listener in Alabama. I didn't catch the Barbara. Barbara, thank you for calling in and blessing us with that testimony there of how AFR has impacted your life. And you're right. We want to make people aware of where candidates stand on issues, especially the great moral issues of our day, so we can cast an intelligent vote. Fred, we wanted to talk to Abe about a couple of other issues, and I want folks to listen up closely because we're about to play a clip that I thought was extremely impressive from William Barr.
That's correct. Yes, the president wasn't the only one speaking last weekend. The United States Attorney General Bill Barr spoke at Notre Dame Law School, and he talked a lot about the problem in secular progressives are on the offense these days. Cut number nine.
The problem is not that religion is being forced on others. The problem is that irreligion is being forced. Secular values are being forced on people of faith. Among the militant secularists are many so-called progressives. But where is the progress? As long as I am Attorney General, the Department of Justice will be at the forefront of this effort, ready to fight for the most cherished of all our American liberties, the freedom to live according to our faith.
Pretty powerful.
Tell us what your thoughts on what the Attorney General shared there.
His comments were extremely powerful. You know, it's amazing, and this is not to be self-aggrandizing at all, but what he said is some of the exact comments I made at the Values Voter Summit, that the secular progressive movement, I know, Ed, you've written about this extensively, their objective was to seize the levers of power, to wrench American sentiment and American commitment away from God and replace it with government. And in that same speech, A.G. William Barr said that what's happening in our society, he said, quote, this is not decay, this is organized destruction. Mm-hmm. Secular forces and their allies have marshaled all the forces of mass communication, popular culture, the entertainment industry, and academia in an unremitting assault on religion and traditional values, end quote. That's exactly what the stated objective was in the 1800s, the late 1800s, the early 1900s. I quoted, and Ed made the same quote in his pamphlet on secular progressivism, that Roscoe Pound, the dean of Harvard Law School at the end of the 1920s, rejoices, saying our movement is almost complete. Government has become the unchallengeable authority that now it has replaced God. Government now stands in the place of Jehovah, handing the tablets to Moses. Mm. That's what Roscoe Pound said at the end of the 1920s. And so here we have A.G. William Barr expressing his awareness of that fact, identifying that what we're witnessing is not decay. Decay is something that happens without necessarily involvement that occurs on its own. No, he said this is organized destruction, and having that security of the levers of power has been an aid to that. And this is one of the reasons I would express to the listeners that AFR is so important, that right. We're fighting against this unremitting assault. Well, you say mass communication is a vehicle to continue that assault. Well, not here at AFR. We're standing against that. Mm. And it is a basis that I would suggest for the listeners to consider when they're thinking about becoming monthly supporters or giving that $150 donation.
I'm just glad that we have Attorney General of the United Amen. States who understands
mm-hmm.
yeah.
the big picture.
Yes. That is huge.
I mean,
it really is.
He didn't get lost in the technicalities of law. Mm-hmm. Which I'm sure he was there to speak on law. He understands the worldview clashes.
That's right.
That are going on out there, Fred.
You know, you just juxtapose what William Barr and what he had to say against Eric Holder when he was Attorney General of the United States.
Yeah,
I mean, it was attacking what we believe in as the proper authority all the time. William Barr, I'm surprised there hasn't been a lot of blowback from the New York Times and the Washington Post on this. Maybe the speech went unreported for the most part.
Perhaps. Mm. That's what it seems like has happened. But what in his statements can be objected to credibly?
Yeah.
I mean, right.
yeah.
you can't object to that credibly. And in fact, that is what a lot of them want to accomplish. Yeah. I brought up the point that, you know, Robert Francis O'Rourke said he wanted to defund or to remove the tax exempt status for churches that reject same-sex marriage. But the reality is all of Democratic frontrunners agree with that. Even if they won't say it out loud, how do I know that? Because they all support the Equality Act.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
There's no exactly. way you can support the Equality Act and disagree with Robert O'Rourke.
And if the New York Times or the Washington Post had attacked William Barr's speech, the only arguments they could make would prove his point.
Exactly.
Because they would have to say, no, we don't want you to practice your faith, and no, we do want to restrict the applicability of the First Amendment's guarantee of religious liberty and thus prove the point of William Barr.
Exactly. All right, folks, it's Sherathon on American Family Radio. We applaud the Attorney General.
Amen.
Yes.
And we applaud the gentleman who hired him.
Yes.
Yes.
Because that President Trump hit a home run with William Barr. Here's the phone number to call. And again, as Walker said earlier, this sounds unbelievable, but any gift you want to call in and make now, $100 is going to be added to it.
For the next hour and 5 minutes only.
Right. So call in, make a gift, and $100 will be added to it. That sounds, it's incredible but true,
yes,
ladies and gentlemen. Here's the phone number, 8, to call us and make the pledge. And please be as generous as you can. Here's the phone number, 877-616-2396. 877-616-2396. Again, you're not calling and you're talking to somebody in a foreign land and they tell you their name's Bob. And you know they're not, you know it's not Bob.
Hello, my name is Bob.
Okay. You're calling the good old US of A. You're calling our headquarters here at American Family Radio when you call that number to make a pledge. Fred, one more topic. We got 3 minutes. I wanted you to ask Abe about.
Yes, LeBron James of the Los Angeles Lakers got himself in a whole pile of trouble with a lot of folks because basically he's telling the protesters in Hong Kong, get yourself in line with the communist government of China. A lot of trouble for that remark from LeBron James.
And he earned that trouble.
He didn't say that. You're paraphrasing.
I'm paraphrasing.
You're accurately presenting the case against LeBron James, but he didn't say it exactly like you're saying it.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to be clear on that. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be called fake news. Go ahead.
Yeah, what he said is two things. He said, quote, and so many people could have been harmed, not only financial, but physically, emotionally, spiritually. So just be careful for what we tweet, what we say, and what we do. Even though, yes, we do have freedom of speech, there can be a lot of negatives. He also tweeted, quote, my team in this league just went through a difficult week. I think people need to understand what a tweet or statement can do to others. And I believe nobody stopped and considered what would happen. Could have waited a week to send it. This is following his initial remarks that the Rockets GM Daryl Morey was misinformed. When he tweeted, all Daryl Morey tweeted was 8 words that said, fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong. That was it. And mm-hmm. So LeBron James said Daryl Morey was misinformed. And in LeBron James' initial comments, it's amazing because when you have domestic issues in the United States of America that are political hot buttons, he has no problem weighing in. Mm-hmm. But when you have people in Hong Kong that are literally fighting for freedom against the government that literally incarcerates up their detractors and kills people, he says, you need to be more informed.
That's rank hypocrisy.
It's rank and grotesque hypocrisy. And LeBron James tacitly revealed for all the world to see his primary motivation, because when he expressed his primary concerns, the first thing out of his mouth was financial.
Yeah.
Right.
Not only financial.
Because the NBA is trying to expand its market into a country with 1.4 billion people or whatever it is in China. The NBA is very popular. And merchandise from probably the most popular player in the NBA, LeBron James, it goes over big. Plus, he's a representative of Nike.
That's right. So he's now found the limits of LeBron James' wokeness. The limits
That's
of his
true.
Wokeness, the outer
That's
banks
true.
Of his wokeness extend to his pocketbook.
Yeah.
You know what?
And he's getting hammered.
Yeah, from the left and from the left and the right. He just lost all credibility when it comes to.
Can I give a joke?
Yeah.
A comedian said this morning, LeBron James shoes should be sold in China for 50% off because the shoes come with no sole.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That wasn't mine.
All right.
But
all right.
I heard it this
that
morning.
Was funny. That was funny. All right, folks, we're going to take a timeout for news. Thank you, Abe.
Thank
for
you,
sharing
guys.
With us, brother. And Walker, Ed, Fred, and Tim will return with Steve. So surely out of the five of us, you'll like one person has to say anyway.